Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Reverence the reading of his word. If you would open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. We are thankful for those 13 that were baptized tonight, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Hallelujah. 13, wasn't it? Somebody got close enough? Amen. Hallelujah. We're thankful. I remember the day that I was baptized a few years ago, and the church where I was baptized at, they gave me a Bible, and after I was baptized, and I remember thinking, man, I'm gonna finally learn the Bible. I had such a hunger when I got saved to know his word, and I'm thankful that he's kept me hungry to this day. I'm so thankful for that. Lord, keep us hungry for your word. Amen. Man, that's good. Thank you, Lord. You know, you can get so much of something, you lose your appetite for it. But I'm so thankful you can't ever get so much of the word that you lose your appetite for it. Come on, somebody. Amen. Let me say la on that right there. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. We're going to look at it down in verse number 30. And if you would do me this favor, put you a bookmark here in 1 Samuel 2. Because we're going to come back to 1 Samuel 1 and then 3 to see why this is written where it is. And I don't know whether or not we're going to get to it this week or next, but we're going to get back to it. So if we get back to it in this service, your bookmark will already be there. 1 Samuel 2, verse number 30. You're there, say amen. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, see, that's why we got to come back to it. First words, wherefore. Another way of saying therefore. Anytime you read therefore in the Bible, it is there for a reason. So wherefore, we will come back to this, but for now we'll start in verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Beginning with the words, for them that honor me. Let's read that out loud together. Ready? Read. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. One more time. I want it in your spirit. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Let's pray. Father, in the name above every name, we acknowledge right now the sufficiency of your grace, and that it is by your grace we stand. Lord, we stand in life, we stand in your word, we stand in your presence in this house, sanctified, set apart for worship and your word, the ministry of your people. By grace, we are in this position, seated in your mercy. And we thank you for the sufficiency of your grace that you gave us through Jesus, that right now you would look at us through the lens of grace, through the lens of the blood of your son, Jesus. That you would see us changed, that you would see us saved, that you would see us redeemed, that you would see us as a new creation in Christ, old things being passed away, all things becoming brand new. And Lord, now that we've been born again and created in your image, Open your word to our understanding that we'll know how to live in your kingdom, to advance your kingdom, to represent your kingdom. Father, I pray for all that would be under the sound of my voice, that you would bless their hearing, that, Lord, we, your people, would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and all spiritual understanding. I ask now, Father, that you would speak through me words that you would have spoken, that your spirit would speak by me, that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might sketch on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. We picked up a study last week dealing with the topic of honor, and we're going to be covering, life. This is one of those life application series that you can take out of here and begin to apply immediately as we talk about what it means to walk in honor, what it means to honor God, what it means to honor man. We read before the prayer in 1 Samuel 2 and 30. If you have your bookmark or that little shoestring your Bible came with, just lay it in there right there. And I want us to look at that latter part of verse number 30 of 1 Samuel 2. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I'm subtitling this teaching, The Currency of the Kingdom. Because in the kingdom of God, honor is the only medium of exchange. And I don't want to get real technical with my words and miss anybody, so I'm going to just say something several ways so that everybody can get it. If you went in to make a purchase at a store and you wanted to do a legal transaction, then you would walk in there with the currency that store accepts, and you would offer that currency, and you would walk out with the items that you made the exchange for. That's the legal way to make a purchase. Hello, somebody. All right? Now, when it comes to transactions in the kingdom of God, if you want to receive from God, if you want to receive of God, and receiving from God and receiving of God always comes through people. And that's something that we've got to look at, because when the Lord blesses you, whether that's financially, whether that's mentally, physically, He blesses you through people. We serve a relational God that uses people to bless and enrich our lives. Would you agree to that? And so God wants to move on the hearts of men and women to pour into and enrich your life mentally, physically, spiritually, financially. God uses people. You say, well, I don't need the Lord. Well, how many checks have you cashed from the First Bank of Heaven? Because they're not just falling out of the sky. Don't get deep with me. You say, well, I hear from the Lord and I don't need anybody. Okay, I don't even know what you're doing here because you hear from God. You don't need to be hearing from me. But just stay with me since you're already here and got relaxed, all right? God wants to enrich and bless us through relationships. But He cannot bless you through a relationship you won't honor, through an individual that you won't honor. And so there is much in the Bible when it comes to the topic of honor, because when we honor God and when we honor God through people, we open up the conduit of His blessing to flow through people back to us. And this is a pattern throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New. And we're going to look at many examples of what happens when individuals walk in honor. There is no position in the kingdom of God that you will ever hold that you did not first honor before you got it. In other words, if you want to take a seat in the kingdom of God, you have to honor that seat when you're not in it. You have to honor that seat even when someone else is in it, even if it's somebody you don't like. This is going to get heavy. There's an honor test that we pass every single day, and I want to show you how important it is. And let's look at the master teacher and what he had to say. Go to Matthew chapter 10. But I was praying over this service, and the only thing other than what I had already studied and prepared, the only thing that I felt, I shouldn't say the only thing because it's not like it's small. The thing, how's that? the thing the Lord laid on my heart to share with you all in this service, and it just kept coming back up that I had to say this, was that you cannot take a seat in life or in the kingdom of God that you did not honor. If you want a seat, you have to honor that seat. It is the righteous way of advancing in God's kingdom. Okay? And there are a lot of people that want positions that they won't honor. And God can't put you in that seat when you wouldn't honor it when it wasn't yours. All right? That's real heavy, and maybe the Holy Spirit will kick in at midnight and tell you what that means for your life. All right? But watch this, because sometimes he'll do that. You're like, oh, man, I get it. And that'd be later, right? Now watch this in Matthew chapter 10. I want to show you something that Jesus said here. And we're going to show you a few more examples in the New Testament of this whole honor thing. Because there were a group of people in the New Testament that could not receive from Jesus, all because they would not honor Jesus. And because they would not honor him, they could not receive of him. We looked at those examples last week. I'm going to go back and revisit that and touch that again, because that's heavy. Because how many of us have cut ourselves off from receiving God's blessing because we were not walking in honor? You show me an area of your life where you're not honoring God in how you honor people, and I'll show you the area of your life that's not blessed. You show me a wife that will not honor her husband, I'll show you a wife that's miserable in the marriage. You show me a husband that will not honor his wife, I'll show you a husband that is miserable in that marriage. It's all about honor. Now, you might be thinking, well, you don't know what I'm dealing with. You see why I'm so disrespectful, mean-spirited, and abrasive. Well, yeah, but you've been doing that for 15 years, and it's gotten you nowhere. I want to show you what's been holding you back, put some currency in your hand to change the condition that you've been living in and advance you in the kingdom of God. There's a way that God has set up his blessing and success on our life, and that avenue is honor. Now watch this in Matthew chapter number 10. If you're there, just say amen. Now, remember what we read in 1 Samuel 2. Now, let's go to verse 40, and we'll start there. This is where we ended, if I'm not mistaken, last week. So we'll start there, all right? Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 40. You're there, say amen. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He said, If somebody will receive you, speaking of the disciple that Jesus sent, he said, if they will receive you, then I will view that as receiving me. And if I am received, then my Father is received. Notice what Jesus just did. He just set up a divine order, a divine order, a flow chart, if you will. And he sends his disciples out, and that's what Matthew 10, you know, is filled with. Let's go back to verse 1, because I want you to see that what I'm saying in its context. Go back to verse 1, and we'll see it all in context. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then he lists the names, and so verse 5, he sends them out, tells them where to go first and where to go next, even tells them what to say in verse 7, as you go preach, saying what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So now, notice all the words from verse 5 all the way down to verse 42. If you have a red print Bible, you'll notice all those words are in the red. Jesus is equipping his disciples to go out and advance the kingdom. That's why the first thing they were to say, no matter where they went, was that the kingdom of heaven has come unto you. So Jesus is preparing them for departure. He's preparing them to go out and advance the kingdom. Are y'all with me here? This is Bible study, right? Hallelujah. To make sure it's Wednesday, not Sunday. All right, here we go. Sunday Bible study too. Hey, now watch this. So verse 40, he's closing out, sending out these disciples, his message to them. And he says, look, now as I send you preaching the kingdom, he that receives you receives me. Do you see that? He that receiveth me receives him that sent me. So now, what if someone would not receive the individual Jesus sent? Then Jesus is saying, you don't get me. because you wouldn't honor the one I sent. So you don't get to skip over the one I sent and then choose to honor me, because if you dishonor the one I sent, I count that as dishonoring me. And if you're going to dishonor the one I send, then you dishonor me. And if you dishonor me, you dishonor my Father. In other words, you don't get nothing. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying here? So Jesus said, now, this is the kind of authority that you're walking in, that if they'll honor you, they'll honor me. And if they'll honor me, they'll honor the one that sent me. And church folk need to hear this, because we make a bad habit of wanting to skip over people and say we honor the Lord. Mm-hmm. Verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. The reward is the benefit. It is the manifestation of honor. When I say that honor is the currency of the kingdom, honor is a medium of exchange. Honor has a reward attached to it. Honor has recompense attached to it. Why would we get to it in this service? Even if we have to go to midnight, I hope we get to some examples in this service. I want to show you some powerful things in the Word of God. Y'all got excited about midnight. Well, some folk do not have to go to work in the morning. But here's the thing. I want you to see what I'm saying, because it's so relevant and it's so important that we get this. This would change your life forever if we tap this principle here. So Jesus said, look, if a prophet comes to you who speaks for God and expounds on the Word of God, and you receive that prophet, and you honor that prophet, then whatever the reward is that's coming on that prophet or through that prophet, you tap it, you have it. You get his reward if you honor the prophet. But if you dishonor the prophet, you don't get the prophet's reward. Now, remember how this was set up. Jesus said, he that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. And that would include the prophet. So if you receive the prophet, he said, you get the prophet's reward. You dishonor the prophet, you won't get the benefit of the prophet. For a person that says, well, I don't trust preachers, I would never go to church, you'll never get the reward of what a pastor could do for your life. God will not be able to use that median in your life. I'm not saying that because I'm trying to be your pastor or make me out to be something. I am who I am by the grace of God. I'm just telling you that when you won't honor someone, you've eliminated that person or that seat from being used in your life, because you would not honor that seat. So you cut off whatever God could have done through that seat. Well, I don't need nobody. I get my stuff from the Lord. The Lord uses people. Because ultimately what he's after is relationship. The evidence that we are saved is our love for him and our love for people. That was the prayer of Jesus going to the cross in John 17. He prayed that we would be one with God and him, and that we would be one with each other. That is the story of the cross. It points vertical and horizontal. It leads us to God and it leads us to each other. It reconciles us to God and it reconciles us to man. That's why honor is so important. We've got to start making what God calls important, important in our life. And the relationships in your life are important. And God wants to use every relationship. We're talking about, you know, social authority. Your teacher, your coach. I don't need anybody telling me how to throw a ball. Okay, then. You won't get what that coach could bring you. I don't need nobody teaching me. Okay, you can't get what that teacher would bring to you. See, once you dishonor a person or that seat, you cannot receive any good of that seat. You cut it off from God using it. Well, I don't know where the Lord might bless me. I don't know whether or not the Lord is going to bless me through a child. I was at an Independence Stadium at a football game when a little child approached me with an I Love Jesus pin that you would pin on your clothes, and knew me from the Sunday school bus. and said, hey, Brother James, and then gave me their pen. And I said, no, this is your pen. You know, a little child wearing a pen. No, Brother James, I'm giving you, I didn't want to take the little kid's pen. And he gave me this little pen, and I put it on my windbreaker at the football game. Little did I know, less than a few minutes later, I would go into the men's room where I would be robbed by a man with a knife that he stuck right into my stomach, not through it, but on my stomach, right there, and said, give me everything you got. I had $22 and a gold chain around my neck. He took the gold chain and the $22. I asked him when he turned around, I said, if you died today, would heaven be your home? He said, what's it to you? You a preacher? He grabbed that pen that said, I love Jesus, and said, oh my God, you are a preacher, and gave me my money back and my chain back. The Lord used a child to put a pen on me that said, I love Jesus, that would rebuke a thief that had a knife pulled on me. Do you understand what I am saying? You don't know who, when, where. God will use somebody to save your life or bless your life. But if you dishonor everybody in your life, you cut off the Lord's avenues of blessing your life. That's why we should learn, and we're going to learn in the series, to honor everybody. Thank you, Lord, because I'd forgot that example. None of that I just shared, that was a true testimony, but none of that was premeditated. The Lord just gave me that right there. But watch this. See, because I could have been, you know, I was, 18 at the time? 19? A few years ago, I could have been chasing a girl or something. I might have had my mind on something else instead of this little kid trying to have a conversation with me and give me an I love Jesus pen. You know, I'm single at the time. Man, you're going to mess up my game. Oh, Lord. I ain't know Chrissy yet. Y'all quit all that right there. I didn't know Jesus. I just barely knew Jesus. All right, watch this. Verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So I think we get that one because if the prophet is speaking for God, then we would look at that higher up. That maybe that's honor from above, to honor the pastor, the prophet. We might look up and say, okay, that's a higher honor. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, let's keep reading in verse 41. And he that receiveth a righteous man's, or receiveth a righteous man, that's a peer. That's a peer. That's another brother, another sister in Christ. That's just another righteous individual, one of your peers, colleagues, church members, friends, brothers in the kingdom. You understand? He said, if you receive and honor the guy next to you, that's a righteous man. He said, if you just honor the one next to you, in the name of a righteous man, he shall receive, read it, a righteous man's reward. So there might be a reward coming to you through the guy next to you. You seeing this? So it could come from the prophet. It could come from the guy next to you. Let's keep reading. Verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones. So now we're talking about children who you might not think about honoring. So now we've gone from above, beside, beneath. See it? Above, beside, beneath. Say that. Above, beside, beneath. He's teaching us the power of honor. And the end result, no matter whether you honor those above or honor those beside or honor those beneath, the end result of honor is a reward. He said, you're going to get a reward. You're going to get the reward I have for you through them, those people, whether it's the little one with the I Love Jesus sticker to save me from getting robbed. Huh? Or whether it's through a peer or whether it's through someone that God has sent to speak in your life. He said, there's a reward coming based on whether or not you will receive them. Verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Wow. Look at the point that he's making here, is that there is no one that we should look at and make exempt of receiving the honor that God's called us to walk in. Turn with me to John chapter 13, the Gospel of John, chapter number 13. If you do not honor Jesus, you cannot receive the salvation that he offers. To the extent that you honor the Lord will be the measurement of the blessing he can bring into your life. That's why there are people in third world countries that hear the gospel and miracles manifest in these crusades because they've never heard the gospel before. Tradition has not blinded them or robbed them. They take Jesus for who he is and miracles manifest and hundreds of thousands of people are saved. Preach that same message in the United States where folk have been hearing it all their life. They're like, oh, I heard that in Sunday school. What is this man talking about? See, and you don't get nothing because there's no honor. But the same exact message preached to a people that never heard it, that would honor it, now all of a sudden miracles take place. And it seems like in the world of the body of Christ, there's less and less honor given to God. It's like it's just steady, steady being really, we don't honor the things of God anymore. You know that to be true. When you and I were taken to church by our grandparents, you sit there. You didn't get up all this bathroom three or four times. You better go before you go because you're going to sit right here. And you didn't leave out when there was an invitation. And no, you waited to pray for people to get to that altar and be saved because you respected the things of God. As a kid, I wouldn't even drive across church property on my bicycle. I was afraid to. I went around the church. Some of my friends would cut through the lawn of the church. Like, I ain't doing that. I wasn't even saved, but I knew better. Ew. Now, watch this in John 13, verse number 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Let's read that out loud together. Ready? Read. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So Jesus said, you don't know who I'm going to send. But whoever I send, if you receive who I send, then you receive me and then you receive the one that sent me. But if you reject the one I send, then you reject me and you reject the one that sent me. So I got to be careful now because I don't know who the Lord might be sending in my life. But I'm not going to exclude the Lord from using people in my life because I won't honor them or give them respect. What does it mean to honor someone? It means I give them esteem. I give them favorable regard. I give them respect. The world teaches us, hear me carefully, that you give no man respect, but you make folk earn your respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Come on, somebody. We're taught that you give nobody respect. You make people earn your respect. Therefore, you're ugly to people until they're nice. And then you might crack half a smile. But you give no one respect, and they have to earn your respect. My daddy taught me as a little boy coming up. He said, son, you give any man the utmost respect, and you make him lose it. In other words, you respect everybody, give everybody the highest level of respect, and if they bring themselves down, they did it, but you started them at the top. You didn't start them at the bottom, make them earn it. Give every man respect and let him lower himself, but you don't put him on the bottom and say, you got to earn your respect with me. No, because you won't honor people if you make them earn your respect. And there are people in the Bible that honored positions because they recognized they were God ordained, even though the person in the position was not honorable. Let me show you an example of this, okay? Let's go back to 1 Samuel where I had you put that bookmark. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Are y'all getting anything out of this? I feel like I am laboring in this word right here trying to get you to see this. Because we want people to qualify for our respect. We want to size them up, left and right, up and down. Check out their resume, go to their Facebook page, check out the last 15 tweets. Oh, he's sorry. How you know I'm with his Facebook page? He's just sorry. You need my book, Critical Condition, because you might be in it. We're guilty, married folk, of not honoring our spouse because in our mind they don't deserve it. Like, you didn't earn my respect. You don't deserve my honor. We will do that to our spouse. We've all been guilty. I know you're quiet, but you know it's true. We're all guilty. If we think we're not getting what we need, we won't even offer it. We say, oh, no, you're not going to get my respect. And the problem is what we're doing is we're not honoring the seat they're in. Because Chrissy can aggravate me till the sun goes up and then back down again. But guess what? She is my W-I-F-E. I said, what does that mean? It's wife. I might have to wrestle with it in my mind. Not her, because she'd win. But I might have to wrestle with it in my mind. But God's called me to honor the honorable seat that she sits in. And Hebrews 13:6 says marriage is honorable. So the Lord is looking at how I honor that seat that she's sitting in. And if I won't honor that seat she's sitting in, then I can't get the benefits that would come to my life through that seat. And if you don't honor the seat that your husband sits in, because we live in a world where marriage is losing its value and its worth, and there's so much dishonor when it comes to marriage. I got folk talking about their husbands and talking about their wives and dog them out and say ugly things. And is it any wonder that you're oppressed, depressed, in a mess, can't rest, living in less? Because God is looking down at that saying, now that is exactly how you would treat me if I were here, because the way you treat your spouse is a reflection of your relationship with me. Now, I know there's situations where we got some imperfections in the world. And I know God's given us a grace for that. And we'll talk about that on a different series, all right? Now, let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we'll begin there. I'm just trying to go across the board with this thing here and show you how important this is. Now, I want you to put yourself in the position of this woman we're about to read about in 1 Samuel 1. So as we read the story, I want you to try to imagine you are this woman. Her name is Hannah. Because I'm going to tell you right now, some of y'all just ain't that saved when you see what she had to go through. But I want to show you what she did, and I want to show you what happened. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, when you get there, say amen. Amen. All right, now. Let's drop down to verse number 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. She couldn't have any children. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? You know, a man, that's just a man right there. Man want to be everything. Baby, look here, ain't I better than that new car? I know you want the car, but I can't afford the car. But ain't I better than the car? I don't know where that came from. Whoever needed that, you just got it right there. See how the Lord will bless you? He just honored you right there. There it is. Verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul because she couldn't have any children. And her adversary provoked her. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So she's crying and praying. You see it? I mean, you are broken. You went to the house of God broken, and you are pouring out your tears before the Lord. Verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid. I wish I could imitate this right now, but I don't want to mess up my voice. But just imagine all of these words are interrupted with sobs and hiccups. Anybody ever got them when they was a kid? Your mama said hush and you couldn't? That used to aggravate me to no end, man. Mama would spank me, and I'd be crying. And she'd say, boy, you better hush it. I'm like, I'm trying. Man, she said, I'm going to hear other people like, I'm trying to breathe, yeah. Don't whoop me to snot. I can't help it. Love my mama. Lord sent her before he came. Mama got me ready for Jesus. Why, when I got saved, I was singing Amazing Grace. And so she's weeping and saying these things while weeping, okay? So watch verse 11. But wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. So she goes before the Lord, and she's broken, and she's even bitter at what the enemy has done to her, but she knows the Lord is the only way out of this. And so she's asking the Lord, will you give me a man child? I want to have a baby boy. And she said, if you give me this baby boy, I will give him back to you. I will commit him to you if you will give him to me. See, you can't dedicate to God what you never received. Hallelujah. That's why I don't really like that whole faith promise giving. Lord, if you give me some money, I promise to give it. Well, that's cool, but how about you give what you got and give me some kind of seed of faith now? It's just too easy sometimes. But she's making it this profession, and I guess it's similar to faith because she's saying, Lord, if you give it, he will be yours. But she's got to receive it before she can dedicate it. Am I right? And so she's broken and saying, God, if you give me this boy, I'll give him to you. Verse 12, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Stay with me, this is beautiful. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. You've been that broken. Well, your lips are saying the words, but we can't hear it. Your heart knows the words, and your lips are making the right motion for the words, but that's not what somebody sitting in the room would be hearing. Some of y'all hadn't cried that hard. All right? So that's what's going on with her. And so, watch this. Verse number 13. But her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli, who had his own issue, because that verse we read in 1 Samuel 2 and 30 was what the Lord was dealing with Eli, because he was a man that had some issues in his house. Because his boys liked to hang out at the church and seduce all the ladies when they came in. And so the Lord came to Eli and said, look, you better stop your boys from seducing all the ladies coming to the church or the temple. And so he had his own issues. So if you wanted to, you could look at Eli and say, his own house ain't in order. Are y'all with me? In other words, if you wanted to find reason not to honor Eli, you could just say, well, Eli ain't fit to be what he is. Look at his boys. I heard they was with so-and-so last week. See, you would have a reason to say, I ain't on him. Are y'all with me? Don't make me go any more detail than this. I just got to keep this suitable for television. So now this man, Eli, got his own issues, who is the priest over the house of God, shows up, hears Hannah praying and crying. Now read the latter part of verse number 13. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. This woman came to God broken. She's pouring her heart out before the Lord. She's weeping. She's casting her care. She's saying, God, I want a baby boy, and you're the only one that can give me one. And if you'll give me a baby, I'll give him to you. I'll raise him to know you and to love you. Give me a child. And now the priest of the house, who's got his own issues, go walk in, look at that woman and say, what are you doing in here drunk? Now, you know some of us just aren't that saved. Mr. Preacher Man, who can't even run his own house. I ain't drunk. Who you think you talking to calling me drunk? I will upside your head, man. I want you to relate to what you might do if a priest who's got his own issues walked in and accused you of being drunk in God's house when you were actually there giving your heart to the Lord. Now, you would be offended at such a statement. Are y'all with me here? Let's keep reading. This is only one of many examples. Verse 14. And Eli said unto her, how long would thou be drunken? Like she'd been drunk a long time. Look what he said there. Put away that wine from thee. He was like, where's your flask? Where are you hiding that drink? Now, she has not drunk. She is not drunk. She's in the house honoring God and pouring her heart out for the Lord. And it just so happens that the priest, hear me, who's the mediator between God and man, shows up. The mediator between God and man, the priest, shows up and accuses the man, the woman, who the priest would represent before God, is looking at the one he's supposed to be representing and saying, what are you doing drunk? Where's the wine? Are y'all with me? Let's just go a little further here. Verse 15, Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. Look at the respect for a man that just called her drunk and asked her where the wine was. No, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. That'll preach. Belial is the devil. She said, if I've been drinking and drinking strong drink, then I'd be a child of the devil. Don't count me that. Count not thine handmaid a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. So look at the honor. She explained to the man what's going on. He's the priest. Verse 17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, which means wholeness in Hebrew, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. The man is the priest. He's the mediator in that day between God and man. He has the authority to take it before God and receive of God and give to her. He just gave her the petition she asked because she honored him. Do you see what I'm saying here? She could have very easily went off on him and walked out of the church and said, I'll never go back to the church again. You ain't gonna believe what that man did. Went in there and prayed, went in there and cried, called me drunk, said I'd been drinking. I'm through with the house of God. I'm through with preachers. They all snakes. And guess what? She'd never had a baby. It's heavy, isn't it? No, she chose to honor God, and God honored her through that avenue. So Eli said, now the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. Now she's asking him for favor. Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. And her countenance was no more sad. Remember where her husband said, why won't you eat? Why are you so broken? Am I not better than 10 sons? And guess what? She left out of there and she got a new attitude. Man, let me tell you, she walked out of that temple a changed woman. She went, found her some steak, a potato, salad, a little ranch dressing, some hot dinner roll. Put on her best dress, fixed her hair up, got that makeup back right again. Walked in the house where her husband was, and there was a new woman right there. It wasn't this old broken down. Oh, the enemy's vexed me. Oh, I don't have anything. Oh, I'm broken. No, no, no. She got whole that day. Man, she spun her husband's head like it was on a swivel. That man kicked on some Lou Rawls and said, you'll never find. I had to go way back because this story is old. Lou Rawls, way back there. I couldn't use Keith Sweat on that one. No. Way back. That's about as far back as I go, and that's just me hearing some reruns. I don't know why. But I get the feeling her countenance was no more sad. Her countenance changed. She didn't look the same. Hallelujah. And guess what the Lord did? And watch verse number 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, who would be the next prophet. Hallelujah. Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the word Samuel means asked of God. Samuel, asked of God. El being God. Samuel, asked of. Samuel, asked of God. I asked the Lord for this boy right here. And the name, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever, because that's the commitment that I made, that if God would give me a boy, I would give him back to God. Hallelujah. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. That's a wise man. Always tell your wife that. Do what seemeth thee good, baby. Do what seemeth thee good. Happy wife, happy life. Do what seemeth thee good. If you're here and you're married, look at your wife and just say that right now. Practice. Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And so she's going to end up taking the boy to the house of the Lord, and she's going to bring a sacrifice. Verse 25, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, the one that accused her of being drunk, and said, where's the wine? And how long you been drinking? The one she still respected and honored. And the one that told her your petition is going to be granted. She's bringing that harvest back to this man. And she said, oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman. Remember me? Can you hear it now? Can you remember me back, you know, 10, 11 months ago? Remember me? You she didn't say, you accused me of being drunk and you think I forgot. No, she didn't do none of that. The blessing of the Lord has come through this man. She said, oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent or dedicated or committed to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Hallelujah. Look at how she received her reward. Look how she received the answer to her prayer. She received it by honoring a man that God had put in authority in her life that seemingly, if you read the second and third chapter, this man wasn't even worthy of, you would think, by some of the only issues he had in his own family. But she honored the seat he was in. She honored the seat that he was in. If somebody steps out on Burt Coons tonight dressed in uniform and they hold their hand up and they wave the traffic to a stop, does it matter what they look like? No, it matters that they're in uniform. The uniform says, I have the authority to stop traffic. We have to learn how to give everybody a uniform and say, you know what? People that are in position in my life, regardless of the person, I respect the seat that they are seated in. I honor that seat. The woman honored that seat that day, and because she honored that seat, she was able to receive through that seat the blessing of the Lord, and the Lord answered her prayer that day. How many of us can learn from that? That's just one of many, many examples we're going to continue to talk about in this series. Did y'all get anything out of that? Come on, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let me pray for you. And just pray the Lord give us a sensitivity to his word. Amen. Father, in the name that is above every name, God, I pray, Lord, that you would show us right now in our life, who are we not giving honor to? Where are we missing this? God, we ask you right now, please show us in our heart. Is it our spouse? Is it our parents? Lord, is it teachers, ministers, pastors, managers, coaches? Is it our siblings? Is it our brothers and sisters in Christ? Who are we overlooking, Lord? Who are we overlooking? Honor is the currency of the kingdom, church. It's the currency of the kingdom. Everything that God would ever give to your life will come through the avenue of honor. Where you're not honoring him and the people that you're not honoring him through will shut off his blessing in that area of your life. A child that won't honor their parents can't benefit from what their parents would bring them. Search your heart. Holy Spirit will speak to you if you listen. What area of your life are you not honoring God? That's the area he can't honor you. You honor him in your body. Are you honoring with your time? Are you honoring him with your service? Are you honoring him with your finances? You're honoring him with your lifestyle and the way you treat people. Just because you go to an integrated church doesn't mean you don't have racism in your heart. Are you disrespecting people because of the color of their skin? Are you ranking them higher or lower because of the skin tone? You're going to hinder what the Lord wants to do in your life. Show me a white man that won't honor black people. And I'll show you a man that's cut off from receiving God's blessing through anyone that's black. Show me a black man that will not honor a white man because he's white. I'll show you a black man that'll never receive God's blessing through somebody white. No wonder Satan works so hard to keep us divided. He wants to cut that whole part of the population out of our life. Pastor Jeremiah gets up here to lead worship and you say, I can't listen to a black man. Then the blessing God could flow through him on your life, you can't receive. If you go to church and I couldn't listen to a white man, then whatever God would pour in your life through that white man, you can't receive. That's the danger of being prejudiced and racist. If you think you can't learn from a woman, then you cut off God using a woman or women to bless your life. That you couldn't listen to a man, then you cut off. And it goes on and on and on. So if you walked in here with any type of prejudice, is it toward preachers? Is it toward teachers? Is it toward those in authority? Is it toward police officers? Who's it toward? Is it toward supervisors? Who's it toward? Teenagers? I've met people that don't like teenagers. You were a teenager. Might be a teenager God's going to use to save your life one day. You're going to cut that off because you won't honor people because of their age. Well, you got to earn my respect. See where that gets you. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that we be a people that learn how to honor you and honor each other. In Jesus' name. I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge my sin. That when I would cast stones at others, I stand guilty. So I drop my stones. For you're the only one who could condemn me. But I receive your grace, your salvation. For you came not to condemn, but to save me. So freely I receive your forgiveness, your grace, your salvation. Help me now to live it, to show it to others, even those I don't think are worthy. For you gave it to me when I was not worthy. Help me now. Keep me convicted of this honor topic. May I be a hearer and a doer, that I be blessed in my deeds. In Jesus' name.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.